This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to I Love KL and I'm Daryl Ong. Who doesn't love a good magic trick? A disappearing coin or rabbit out of a hat has never failed to amuse and entertain audiences regardless of age or background. And PJ will get their own taste of all things mysterious and magical with Magic Life, the Magical Assembly at PJ Life Arts next Wednesday. And here with me on the show, we have premier magicians Anselm Roy and Jonathan Lee. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Okay, first of all, why don't you just tell me how you got into magic, and was it a planned thing?
I guess I got bitten by the magic bug when I was really young, and I think my favorite magician was, of course, David Copperfield. And I mean, we have seen him making mega things disappear, like, you know, the Statue of Liberty and things like that. I guess that's where it started.
And it's, I assume it's through TV, right? Because that's the only means you have to...
At that time, yes. And then, of course, VCR, if you do remember that.
Well, what was your first encounter with magic? What made you actually want to, hey, I want to get into this field?
An article in the Malay Mail.
Okay.
Way back when. I had just finished Standard 6, and I was flipping through the papers, and I did pretty well. I had all A's, so I had a bit of freedom. So I was looking for a hobby, so to speak, and one of the pages was a picture of a clown. Looked at it for a while and thought, maybe not. Then the next page, there was an article for a guitar, and I was quite interested in music at that point. And then I realized, too competitive, lah, cannot. Then the next page was a magician was performing at the Federal Hotel, and I wrote to the reporter asking if I could, you know, meet this guy, and then. Long story short, we met, and that's how it started. But it was a long process because every magician I met only taught me one trick. So it was only after the third magician that I met that I finally got a contact for a book, and it started from there.
And then the magic happens, right?
Then the magic happened, yeah.
Jonathan, what's your favorite trick to perform on stage? I mean, you're a close-up magician. Will you tell us more about close-up magic and what's your favorite trick?
Well, close-up magic is... obviously different from stage magic. Partly why close-up magic is a very intimate type of magic where, you know, you go, where magic actually happens right in front of you, like not on stage or not, you know, from a distance, but really, like, sometimes the magic even happens in your hands. So, you know, that's close-up magic for you. But in terms of a favorite trick, that's going to be difficult. Well, I guess there isn't much of a favorite trick, but any trick that, you know, just causes that spark in somebody's eyes, I think that's basically thumbs up.
That's the reward that you have.
Exactly.
Right? Does your tricks have different effect on people? Let's say you perform to teens, whereas performing to adults, do you get different reactions from these different groups?
Yeah, of course. Of course, it depends on also your presentation style. Of course, when you perform to a younger crowd, for example, you wouldn't go into much, you wouldn't go much political jokes or whatsoever. But, you know, if you are performing to maybe a business audience, for example, then, you know, those kind of jokes would go about and those kind of tricks would go about. Your pattern would actually change in terms of what type of people that you are, you know, performing to.
So you actually build your routine according to the audience, different type of audience that you have.
Exactly.
As the margin for error in this field is large, was there a time a trick failed, and how did you cover up a trick?
Every show, in my career, every show there are mistakes.
Okay.
The best critique that I have is my wife, and the highest points I've got on a scale of 1 to 10 has been 7. I thought I was 9, but she said 7.
Wow.
So, you know, after the show, we have production note meetings and stuff like that, and we go through stuff. Every show, it's never perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect show. The question then becomes, if it's a technical problem, what do you do? You cover it up. How do you cover it up? I can't tell you. There's no simple formula. It's about experience.
It's all impromptu. Eh?
Falling down flat when you slip on stage is definitely impromptu. So what do you do when you land on your butt? You have to come up with a joke, a line, which is appropriate at that point in time, and say, hey, you know, or you trip down, walk down the stairs and you trip and you say, well, he can make an elephant disappear, but he can't walk down a flight of stairs. It becomes a funny joke. You always cover it up. But the key to that is not to dwell on it. you know, sometimes you go, oh my God, I made this mistake, and you keep thinking about it, and then it affects the next move and the next move, and the, you know, it's done. You can't change life.
So the key is to get up and carry on.
Carry on. Mm-hmm. You know, maintain the same level. Make sure that you have enough ammunition in your arsenal to able to come up with something that covers that, and then just move on. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it fails horrendously, you just move on, right? Because people are behind you. Surprisingly, the audience is always behind the performer, and they don't like to dwell on the mistakes. They like to see the glory part. You know, so if you score 95% and you fail on 5, they're not going to remember the 5.
Right.
Know? Yeah.
So I guess that's the motto to all performing arts. You know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. If you're on stage, you know, I mean, it's all about the audience and how they give you the energy back to you. Yeah.
Anselm, you are a full-time magician. Mm-hmm. People don't really meet magicians.
That's true.
So what's the initial reaction when you meet someone and say you're a magician? What's the initial reaction?
Musician, ah. Or if they read my card, which says illusionist, I've had one guy go, you illustrator or what? Then you have to stop and go, no, I'm a magician. Then they go like, then if they're Chinese, I go, you know, more so da. And that's even worse because I'm Indian and I'm speaking Chinese and that doesn't make sense either. They go like, what you say? Then you got to say magic. Oh, magic show, ah. Oh, I got son's birthday party coming up. You know, and I'm not that kind of a magician. Then I got to go through this whole thing. But eventually it'll come down to, not many magicians are, and, wow, very good to meet you, you know, that kind of stuff, yeah.
Okay. So if you weren't a magician, what field would you go into?
Field? I'd probably be a bird going into a field. I don't know. Magic has been with me for the last 30, 34 something years. It's my passion. Mm. I live it. I breathe it. Everything around me is magical. Even as I walk, if I'm walking past the building, I'm looking at the architecture for design. If I'm looking at a poster, I'm looking at the artwork. If I'm looking at the mechanical structure, I just saw these bikes downstairs that were so cool, and I said, I could make this appear on stage. You know, I mean, that's me. You know,
right. So it's magic through and through.
Through and through, man. It's just in my veins.
Yeah. Referring to the tagline, a magician never reveals his secrets. Why is it that there are so many upcoming magicians that perform, you know, the same tricks that David Blaine performs or Copperfield performs?
Well, I guess you basically sum it up, David Blaine. Media, basically, you know, TV. And, you know, with technology nowadays, you know, you can probably find anything and everything on Google.
Right. Yep.
You know, so that basically sums it up.
I think also the YouTube internet thing really does not help magic.
Yeah.
It gives you a video platform which you can copy. I mean, like back in the old days, we only had books. And to me, that was better because you read the book and then you imagined how the routine was and you started creating stuff in your head. Whereas now you've got a whole bunch of copycats going on, and some of them bad videos, really bad videos. So these kids look at it and go, okay, and they copy the bad magic and then present bad tricks, you know. So unfortunately, that's not so good, lah.
Is it killing the industry?
Has internet killed the industry? I would say yes and no. In the sense that because it has created this whole batch of lazy people, I say that nicely, okay?
Right.
the creative aspects have died, slowly been shrunk, except for those who are really passionate about it and who want to propel themselves. But at the same time, it has pushed magicians who want to better the trick and come up with a sucker ending or a better ending than what you saw on it. So just because you watched it on the internet doesn't mean that's the way the trick is going to end.
Right.
You know,
okay.
So, yeah.
Because magic is normally what we consider as a tool, you know, and we're actually there to tell a story. So magic is just a tool of actually getting you from point A to point B in that sense. But it's how you actually tell the story. It's your decision whether you want to tell the same story the same way as you watch it on video, or would you like to take it to make it your own, in a sense where you tell your story and share that to people.
Crowds these days getting smarter, you know, with the internet and getting more cynical about magic tricks. How do you perform tricks that still capture amazement and wonder of the crowd?
I guess basically, it's not just presenting that trick. It's just not showing that trick. It's the way you present it, in a sense where you want to actually break down the mentality of that I'm trying to fool you. Or else, you know, the element of surprise is actually like, hey, what's that right there? Like, and then you just produce, you know, a coin or something. That's magic itself. You know, it's like the element of surprise needs to be there. And I guess that's where and how you actually plan. And it's a lot of thinking and routining and so forth. And also having an eye for people. You know, magic is just not, you know, the magic trick itself is probably maybe 10% of the whole, you know, being a magician
thing.
The technical
aspects of it, yeah.
Exactly. But it's more than that. It's about, you know, how you approach people. How do you talk to people? How you dress? You know, your first impression of people is, I mean, people have on you is really important. How do you speak, you know? And then, you know, how do you even, you know, start a trick, for example? That all comes into different aspects of actually performing.
So the trick itself is not the trick, you know, it's just
a tool in itself.
Well,
yeah.
if you step back and look at the whole thing, if I'm showing you a trick, and if your first response is, what? Okay, that's the magical moment.
Right.
That's what we aspire to get from you. And just seconds after that, your logic will kick in and go, how the heck did he do that, you know? That's the point. So if we routine our shows carefully and we plot the energy levels and the energy... I've got this thing called the energy level, energy graph. And you put in enough of these wow moments and you bring it up, you let it cruise for a bit, you bring it up again, let it cruise for a bit. By the time you end the show, they're at a different energy level.
Correct.
You know, and your adrenaline is pumping, and you feed off the energy that you get from the audience. It is, you have to be technically adept. I mean, there's no question about it. That is a done deal. I mean, if you're driving a car, you need to know how to drive a car first, okay? Forget about winning the race. But what John said was true, because once you're there, it's all about relationship building. You know, getting the audience to like you, being able to give that back to them, and then you just keep building it back and forth. And at the end of the day, they forget that you're actually doing a magic trick. Until it happens, they go, huh? Hey, how come? You know, and then the logic kicks in. You know, by which time, you're on to the next trick, and they have to forget about the how and concentrate on the next trick. So that's called routining.
Okay.
You know, where one trick flows into the other, to the other. So they have no time to sit and just dwell on the how, you know? And by the time it's over, you hit them between the eyeballs and you're out of there. Thank you very much. Cool. Good night.
Well, I guess also it comes with the purpose of you, you know, approaching this audience, for example. Your ultimate goal, yes, of course, you know, you're a magician. You need to, in quote-unquote, fool them in that sense. But your attitude towards it isn't there, hey, I'm smarter than you. But it's like when you leave that crowd, for example, you leave that audience, the thing that you want them to go back with is, hey, I had a good time. It isn't like, you know, yeah, of course, that part where, you know, how is it done, it's equally important, or else we'd just be, you know, musicians or anything else. But the ultimate goal is actually, hey, we had a good time.
Yeah, I always tell the boys, I mean, you know, we're all entertainers. That's the first job.
Yes.
You know, when you get up on stage, your job is to entertain. We could be singing, we could be playing a guitar, we could be juggling, we just happen to be doing magic. But when the crowd leaves, you know, I have this thing which I started along. Like if I have somebody watching me, if I have a crowd of people, and if I'm doing a 20-minute show, you're giving me 20 minutes of your life. That's a valuable thing. I need to respect that.
Yes. Yep.
You know, so you take 20 minutes and you multiply it by, you know, 2,000 or whatever number of people. That's a huge responsibility. As a performer, I have to respect that. And I have to do my damnest best to give you the best that I can.
They make it worth their time.
Absolutely. So when they leave, it's an experience that they find memorable, pleasurable, and they would hopefully want to come back and see you again. You know, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's entertainment. That's, we are in this business to entertain people, not to fool you. You know, money making is okay, you know. We have to live and we have to make money. But it's not, the harsh reality is when you get up on stage, it's your job, it's your responsibility to entertain them.
Were there people coming up to you after a show and saying, how do you do it? Please, I'll give you anything. Just teach me how to do it.
Any question but how.
or you would say Malaysia, magic law.
Ooh, that borders on political statement right there.
Right, and so you're having a magic show which is running twice a month, every Wednesday, every other Wednesday.
Once a month. It's last Wednesday of every month, and we've started it since June.
Okay.
Yep. We're blocked in until November. We're taking a break in December because of the festive holidays and stuff. And then probably we're sitting down with PJ Live Arts to look at next year's calendar.
Okay. What can people expect from the show?
Magic, magic, magic.
Magic, magic, and more magic.
Yeah. Local guys getting up there, local magicians getting up there, budding and otherwise. trying to impress the crowd, you know, trying to impress the Malaysian crowd with their tricks and illusions. We don't call them tricks, but with their presentation. Yeah.
All right. Can people still get tickets to go see the show?
Yes.
So it's happening next Wednesday.
29th. It's the last Wednesday of every month. Make a date. It's 8:30. The shows are minimum 60 minutes. We've been known to run up to 90 minutes when we get carried away. But that's no extra charge. It's at PJ Live Arts, the Cabaret Room. It's a nice, intimate, warm room. We get eye contact with everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. It's great fun. Just come.
Sounds exciting.
But it's not for children, eh?
It's not for children.
Yeah, don't bring your kids. It's for the thinking adult. So, students, upper secondary, bolehlah.
And that was magicians Anselm Roy and Jonathan Lee. Remember, you can catch Magic Live, the Magicians Assembly, next Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. at PJ Live Arts for a very affordable price of 40 ringgit. So there's no reason to miss out on
35 this. If you get it online.
35 if you
for
get
for early birds, yeah. 40 at the door.
Thanks for coming to the show, guys.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Great chat.
I'm Daryl Ong, and this is I Love KL, only on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.